1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
Remember all that stuff I said last hour about not wanting to say anything about the military operation of the United States in Afghanistan, and how all that does is confuse people, and how all that does is give people a false sense of what's going on over there? Well, having said all of that about how I don't want to hear any more about the military operation in Afghanistan, let me just read this, because it's really neat. Major General David Grange. Update. I think that the special ops operation, I'm going to use the voice that I think he would use. I think the special ops operation, the two raids, really shook him up a bit. All right, I'm not going to use his voice. They originally really thought that we did not have the guts to put troops on the ground like this, that we could only fight at 10,000 feet. We could not fight eye to eye, face to face. This really broke that myth that they have been propagandizing within their own forces, saying we're going to beat the Americans. They're not going to put boots on the ground. They're not going to fight us as men. They're going to fight us from the sky. We went to Omar's house. We brought the fight to them like they did to the Trade Center. That means we have the initiative. We have the offensive instead of defensive, reactive posture. We went into one of his command posts where he also lives. That's their stronghold. That's like right in their pea patch. That really got them. Consequently, you're seeing propaganda coming out trying to reverse the effect that we had on them. Maybe not so much the kinetic effect of death, but the psychological effect. So they're saying we shot down so many aircraft and we killed so many people. That is a good indicator we are successful because we've rattled them. The other two things that came from the raid was a great confidence builder for our soldiers. Some of these Rangers were probably some of the Rangers from the Mogadishu and Somalia in 1993. This is what I was telling you guys about Black Hawk Down. So this was a great morale lift because there had been speculation that some of bin Laden's guys helped in Mogadishu. If that's the case, it was almost like payback. And the raids affected the coalition of the world. The countries that are with us on this thing know that we're not going to do this like the Kosovo thing. 78 days of bombing and nobody on the ground. They know that we mean commitment. When you put people on the ground, you have truly committed yourself. The rest of the world knows we are committed to winning this fight and we can walk our talk. As far as tactics go, on the airstrikes, that is showing we are starting now to really pick up the targeting of ground troops, vehicles and troops, and supply depots, directly helping the anti-Taliban alliance. We are starting to pick up the support of those guys to help the ground fight. Before, they were more targets that were totally al-Qaeda-oriented. Now, there are targets that are more Taliban maneuver force-oriented that would affect the fight between the Taliban and the anti-Taliban forces. If that's the case, we would probably have special forces with the anti-Taliban as coordinators, anti-Taliban forces. They know how to do the guerrilla warfare. They have done it for years, but special forces are advising on how to call in airstrikes and coordinate combined arms fighting. It looks like it's focused more in possible support of a groundswell. So there's all the military crap that you need to know, and it comes from David Grange, who is a retired U.S. Army Major General and a military analyst for CNN. Remember all that stuff I was seeing about all the military analysts on CNN being full of crap? I think this guy is the exception. Well, it's cool to read stuff like that. It's just very cool. I just like to read stuff like that. Next week, we're going to do our part. You say, well, how can we do our part in this war? You can do what we're going to do. We're going to do a week's worth of shows in New York. We're going to get on the plane. We're going to fly to New York. We're going to go in a hotel. I mean, it's going to be tough. It's going to be grueling. It's going to be a living hell like no living hell I've ever lived before. First, I'm going to get in an airplane and fly in comfort all the way to New York, drinking all the way, beers, maybe a couple little Johnny Blacks with a water back. Then the hell doesn't end there. Then the hell will be transported to my hotel in Midtown Manhattan, and then I'm going to have to eat at a fine New York restaurant. Oh, God. It'll probably be a steak. Or maybe it'll be some fine Italian dish in Little Italy. Or maybe it'll be some horrific, wonderful Italian meal in Brooklyn in the real Little Italy. Then the hell doesn't end. Then I'll have to go to a bar and shoot darts and play pool and have a big pint of Guinness with my very good friend, Mr. Taylor. And then, oh, God, no, not this. Anything but this. Tickets to a Nathan Lane play or some other Broadway show with third or fourth or fifth or tenth row seats. right there in the orchestra pit, enjoying ourselves. Oh, God, no. And then there'll be dinners with more Italian food and more steaks and more, visits to the Carnegie Deli. Maybe taking a Letterman show. Yes, we all have to do our part in this war. And this is what I'm doing. We will be the first, hopefully not the last, but the very first radio show to do a week's worth of remote broadcasts from the great city of New York, and that will take place this coming Monday through Friday. So next week, next Monday through Friday, all week long in New York City. And we're really looking forward to it. And I can't thank my friends at Priceline.com enough. Phil Henry's official travel provider for airline tickets, hotel rooms, and rental cars. You have got to go to Priceline.com for all your travel needs right now, because they've got ticket prices on airline, airfare, hotels. I mean, they got it all. Rental cars. The thing is, it's solid from top to bottom, and they can get you where you want to go, man. And like I said at the beginning of the show, I throw down the challenge to any radio show out there, and I know they all listen. You know, it's on any given day, we don't know how many people are listening to us, but any given night, I know for a fact, every freaking guy who has a radio show in this country is listening to me that can get this show. Now, that's a fact. Because they're all, asking themselves, how does he do the voices? Does he have DBX? What kind of voice processing does he do? What kind of that? Oh, get out of here. You guys know you're out there, so, give it a rest. I challenge all of you to go to New York and do your next remote broadcast from the great city of New York and tell your audience about New York City. Tell your audience that this is a great city, that it will not be kept down, that it's the capital of America, that it's the cultural center of America, that is, as New York goes, so we all go. And that we support New York, and that it's a great, fun, wonderful, beautiful place to be, and sitting on your hands and talking about it ain't the way to get it done, booby. Yes, we'll be in New York. And then what other hell can we get into, Craig? What other horror? Maybe go down to Chelsea or Soho or I don't know. It'll just be rotten, won't it? See the Statue of Liberty and some other bad stuff like that. That's what we're going to do. Maybe we'll take in a movie while we're in New York, by the way, because there are some. I was just talking today with some people. In fact, the LA Times had a very interesting article. It said the death of irony was announced prematurely. A lot of people have said that comedy has died or somehow permutated in this country. And there was a very gleeful essay in Time magazine that I read recently. Just gleeful. The guy that wrote this essay was just, now you'll see, all you smart asses, your humor and your comedy is passé. Nobody cares about it anymore. All of you guys, Dan Patrick, and all you SportsCenter smug assholes, and, David Letterman, all of you, now your day has come and gone. Now we'll go back to the good, clean comedy of Abbott and Costello, all the good, feel-good comedy of, Elaine Boozler, and all you smart asses, you guys are, well, as it turns out, the smart ass is alive and well. Although I understand what the guy was going for. This guy sounded just happy that all those comics were going to be out of work. Well, it isn't the case necessarily. Although we do have on our website today, Phil Henry Polls America, our question, and you may be interested to know the name of the question today, or actually the question today is, which popular comic in light of recent events seems sadly unfunny these days? Is it David Letterman, Jay Leno, Jon Stewart, Craig Kilborn, Bill Maher, Adam Carolla, or Jimmy Kimmel? And let's see what the country has been voting. Leading the way at 48%, Bill Maher. In second place, at a distant second place, at 19%, Jay Leno. In third place, David Letterman at 10%. And then in fourth place, Craig Kilborn at 8%. And then Jimmy Kimmel and Jon Stewart at 5%, and Adam Carolla at 4%. And I guess that's kind of a backlash for Bill Maher's ill-advised comment about the cowardice of slinging missiles from a distance or whatever. Anyway, this guy had a gleeful, article about the death of comedy. But today we're talking, I said, Jesus, my wife and I this past weekend, we are so hungry for a good comedy, we can't even stand it. And I want to go see that Zoolander. I don't know why we didn't go see that. I think it's not local or something. Doesn't Zoolander look good? It's the Ben Stiller thing, Mike. Have you gone to see that? It looks pretty funny. That guy, he does funny movies, except Mystery Men. But moving past that, all right, maybe it wasn't that bad. My kids thought Mystery Men was the bomb. It was horrible. Training Day, that's the funniest. I'm kidding about that. Corky Romano, listen to this review from Entertainment Weekly on Corky Romano, which is a Chris Kattan movie. Chris Kattan looks like an organ grinder's monkey who just got his cap stolen and can't figure out who to blame. In a movie that has to rank among the all-time Saturday Night Live bottom dozen, his stumble-bum Corky goes undercover as an FBI agent to steal the evidence gathered against his mob family. The film introduces this sissy boy of a hero only to bland out everything ridiculous about him. F. Okay, looks like we're going to go see that. You know why? Because every rotten review, any rotten review my wife reads, says, we got to go see this. I said, honey, didn't you see it? Got an F. No, we're going to see it. I want to see it. It looks really interesting. The reviewer said it's a piece of crap. Good, all the better. Oh, my God. My wife drugged me to a performance art piece down on Melrose, and I'm not going to say the name of the artist because I want to be kind, but it was a woman who rolled around in honey. And anyway, no, but seriously, we went down there, and it just was horrible, and the LA Times had said it was horrible, and I said, look, it's horrible, and she said, good, I want to go see it. And then when we left, I said, did you like it? She loved it. She thought the LA Times was full of crap. It was the greatest thing she ever saw. What do you mean, Stewart saved the world? Stewart Smalley character, it lost $5 million? Just because a cat does a really good character, I just had to dump myself. I let loose with the F word, sorry. Just because a movie, just because a guy does a character that is solid doesn't mean it's worthy of a movie, right? Stuart Smalley might have been a better TV show. Did these guys ever think that maybe a spinoff TV show would be the way to go? That maybe this Chris Kattan, Corky Romano, maybe that might be, do a TV show on that thing? Then if it makes it, then we can maybe do something else? Does that ever dawn on them? No, we have to go straight to the movies. Like It's Pat. Now, she's great. What is that actress who did It's Pat? Julia Sweeney. She's dynamite. She's funny as hell. And that movie she did a movie. It was very good. I liked it. Oh, God Said Go to Hell, I forget what it was, but it was great. And we watched it and we loved it. And she told all the experience about doing the movie and what a real depressing experience it was because it was such a stiff of a flick, yada, 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 yada. That would have been a good spinoff TV show or something. That's all I'm saying. So, what else? Joyride. What's that other one that's really funny? How about, what's that Great Race? Isn't that Amazing Race? Great Race? I hear that's a riot. No, no, not the TV show. That sucks. The movie, The Great Race. Is that what it's called? I don't know. I'm going to go see it, though. Any movie with race in it, I'm going to go see. Race Riot, anything. I don't care. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
And now, Phil Henry.
Look, it's easy to sit here and smugly say, oh boy, that Chris Kattan movie, boy, that Corky Romano. It's very easy, but it's fun, so let's keep doing it. It's not nothing that I take any particular. I would rather talk about the movies that, although you have, when you look at Saturday Night Live, you must talk about the films made that stunk the joint out every bit as much as you talk about the ones made as spin-offs of some character that were good. So we talked about It's Pat, Coneheads, which was a movie with Dan Aykroyd and Jane Curtin, and who was the other one? Lorraine Newman. And, frankly, and I got to be honest with you, the sketch, the TV sketch was funny, but I don't know if the thing was worthy of a movie. It was funny like when Frank Zappa came and wanted to date the young Conehead. And then how about, okay, now I have to be very careful how I say this, because Will Ferrell is a very nice guy, and he's funny as hell. And seriously, he's funny as hell. But that night at the Roxbury, come on. My kids were ape over that thing. They said, you gotta watch it. It's the funniest thing you've ever seen in your life. You gotta do it. You'll pee. You'll crap. You'll laugh. You'll cry. And I turned it on and I wept. No, but, it, you know. And now let's move on to Chris Farley. Yes, the late, great Chris Farley. Everyone loves him. He was the resident funny fat man after, John Belushi went the way of all good men. They were looking for a funny fat guy, and along came Chris Farley. Now, look me in the eye and tell me that Chris Farley's movies were funny. Okay, I guess that's Craig's telling me they were funny. All right. Tommy Boy was good. That thing with that Lewis and Clark thing that he did, that had a lot of promise, too. I kept waiting for that thing to go, man. It sucked. Maybe it was the choice of the guys. I don't know. Now let's move on to Chevy Chase. Everybody likes to beat the crap out of Chevy Chase and say that he never did a funny thing after he left Saturday Night Live. I beg to differ. He did one other funny thing. He did a lot of funny things. But Fletch, those movies were funny, weren't they? With the funny-looking teeth? Now let's talk about Bill Murray. I mean, that guy made a lot of funny movies. Yeah, a couple of them stunk it out, but most of them were great. And even when none of them were really spinoffs of any character that he played on Saturday Night Live. That Kingpin was a riot. Stripes was fantastic. Groundhog Day was great. Caddyshack is beautiful. I mean, come on. Ghostbusters, the first Ghostbusters, come on. It's funnier than hell. But that's all I can think about. Who did Ladies' Man? Tim who? Tim Meadows. Was that any good? I didn't see it. It sucked? Okay, there you go. Blues Brothers was good. Wayne's World was good. Austin Powers, not a spinoff, but that was funny. But I just think that once you have these guys... Oh, yeah, Chevy Chase, the first vacation movie was great, with Randy Quaid and the chick going, my daddy says I'm the best French kitchen. Yeah, that was funny. That was great. Did you see that, Craig? It was fantastic. That was the best redneck movie you ever saw. But you got to say to these, you know, whoever's coming up with these movie ideas, why don't you make it a TV show? Make it a TV show and, you know, put it on a Saturday night. Have it as a lead-in to Saturday Night Live. Make people stay home early. On Saturday Night Live, everybody, the big 18 to 49-year-old show, why don't you have people stay home even earlier and flip, you know, watch whatever the hell they want with Saturday Night Live and some of those characters. Make them flip it on in the bar. You know, remember the days when people would turn Saturday Night Live on in a bar and everybody would, like, stop what they were doing and watch the freaking show? Does that go on anymore? Make the whole Saturday night nothing but Saturday Night Live spinoff characters. Start off with It's Pat, then go to Austin Powers, then go to Fletch, then go to that Kingpin dude, do the whole thing. Adam Sandler's movies are not really spinoffs, but they're sort of, you know, they're sort of quality like the Chris Farley movies. Sort of quality. Let me underline the word sort of. Although they tell me, and when I say they, I mean my kids, Billy Madison was a riot. Okay, let me go to a phone call. David, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, just to keep it current, you know, when you look at comedy, Jon Stewart really has it covered when it comes to the media, and I'm trying to get back to your point you were making on the media earlier. You know, our media really has been a shame for our country for a long time, and it's so evident how it's all me, 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 I'm media, we're going to sell, 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 not looking forward, not thinking about what's next, but what's just happening now.
Right. Well, I don't know what you mean by that. What's happening now is the news.
Well, yeah.
When you say media, who are you talking about? Are you talking about the news gathering?
Well, right now
are you talking about the TV sitcom producers?
You know?
So you're talking about the news purveyors?
Yeah.
All right, well, then say news. Say news
all right,
media.
I'm sorry.
Right? When you say
news.
Media, you've got entertainment,
right.
you've got everything, you know.
Well, okay, let me say for this part, the news.
All right, well, the news deals with what's happening now. That's what news is.
That's true. It's all. But right now it's all anthrax. You turn it on, and that's all you hear about. And that's an extremely important story, but... What about the national ID card? What about a crop duster that flew over the Mississippi River today? What about other things that are going on the road? What about
the crop duster that flew over the Mississippi River today?
Huh?
What about it?
Is it being covered much?
Well, so you want them to panic people?
It's not panic. It's information. We can't.
Oh, it's information. It's crap. That's what I'm talking about. It's bull crap. You don't want them to cover one aspect of the anthrax story, but you want them to cover the other aspect of that. What I'm saying is they're overdoing the anthrax story.
You think they are overdoing it?
Totally overdoing it. Completely overdoing it. I think. 1-800-449-8686. This is The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
Hey, everybody. It's time for Bud Dickman's Weekly Top 10. It's the new Bud Dickman Weekly Top 10 with the new female-friendly Bud Dickman.
Thanks for coming out tonight. You could have been anywhere.
Thank you very much, R.C. Collins. I'm Bud Dickman. Research has shown that women don't listen to this show. I'm going to try to change that. I've been taking vocal lessons from Casey Kasem. And I'm going to try to be suave. This is number 10. A song by Izzo, by Jay-Z, called Izzo, H-O-V-A, on Rock On My Face, Rockefeller's Def Jam Records. It used to be number 8, now it's number 10, but someday it'll be number 14, I'm sure. I don't know when, may go down to 15, but someday...
All right, hold on for a minute.
What?
Hold on. Start the music again just in a second.
What are you doing? I'm trying to be suave.
What do you mean you're trying to be suave? The word it's suave, okay? It's not suave and it ain't suave. It's suave.
Oh, research said I got to be female friendly.
Did what?
The research said I have to be more female. Get out of here. I'm being suave.
Pardon me, folks. He's going to be suave now.
Oh, I'm Bud Dickman, number 10.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the eighth wonder of the world. The flow of the century.
And now I'll it's timeless. Take a phone call from one of the long-legged ponies out there. Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, is this Bud?
Yes, it is. How can I rock your world tonight?
Bud, you are too much. Can you play, Enrique Iglesias, Hero?
All right. Are you lonely tonight? You need a little tender loving care? And,
Well, no, not from you. You sound like maybe you drool a lot, so I...
Well, thank you. Get the next time. What do you mean I drool a lot?
Thank you very much.
And now here is number 9. The one you love. This is the new Swave Bud Dickman Weekly Top 10. Mr. Hall, our program director, said I need more female listeners, and that's why I'm talking like this.
Like a complete jackass.
That's right, like a complete jackass. No, I not talk like jackass.
I not talk like jackass. I can kiss away the pain.
I will stand by you forever.
Number 9!
Oh, yes. My darling, you and I together. Do you recall the evening I took you out for pork chops? I do. I recall the early part of the evening. The later part of the evening, I don't recall at all, because, as you well know, an entire bottle of Bushmills later, I passed out
on your lawn.
Number 9!
I can be Shut up. Hero, and now Blue Cantrell with another piece of crap. Another one. Number 8, hit 'em up style. Oops, here's Blue. While he was steaming, I was steaming
in the beamer, just steaming. But, could you quit talking like a retard on Downers, okay?
Well, I certainly don't. Janine and Marcus on a shopping spree.
And on the way I grabbed Sully and me. I thought everything away.
There goes the dreams we used to. Oops. There goes the times we spent. Oops. There goes the love I had, but you cheated on me, and that's for that now. There goes the house we made. There goes you'll never leave me alone. For all the love. All right, already, Jesus. Oops, the condom broke. Oops. And now, the very serious, alienated tones of Stained. Too bad Alienation's out since September 11th.
It's been a while since I could hold my head up high.
We spoke with the members of Stained about their nearly burgeoning, now truncated and gelded career.
We thought we could, do an alienated kind of thing, like Dylan and a lot of the angrier metal bands, and now all of a sudden everybody is just, kind of putting life into perspective since September the 11th, and Alienation seems very indulgent and almost spoiled, Looks like I shaved my head for nothing, I don't know.
Number 7!
Jesus.
Yes, the implosive and plotting, almost dinosaur sound of Stained with
It's Been a While.
We spoke with R.C. Collins about Stained.
Well, I think they ought to reinvent themselves. Kind of like Hanson do.
Kind of like Hanson do. Yes, thank you.
Since I couldn't say I love
another Eddie Vedder ripoff, courtesy of the Bud Dickman Show.
Since I've gone and
yes, with the Eddie Vedder, I've been constipated about 3 weeks sound, Stained, and, well, you know the name of that song. We've said it about 6 times. And now a song, I don't believe I'm familiar with this.
Number 6! Number 6!
All right, now hold on. Hold on. Just hold everything.
What do you do?
Just hold on.
Number 6!
Shut up!
What's the matter?
I'll tell you what's the matter. This is the national anthem, okay? We don't screw with this.
Oh, come on. We're just trying to be suave.
Get out of here with your suave, you idiot.
All I said when it was
done. Yeah, number 6. I got it. We're going to play this song to the end. And I don't want to hear one of you guys. Not a fart, not a burp, not a belch, not a number 6, not a phone call from some chick. None of your jokes about Alienation, nothing. Is that understood?
What an asshole.
That's right, that's me. You got something to say about it, R.C.?
No, Adolf. I mean Phil.
Adolf, huh?
Yeah, well, you're coming on like a third world dictatorial.
What a matter with ye have fun.
That's the national anthem. You don't screw with it. Got it?
I love my country.
Well, then prove it by playing that song all the way through without belching or farting.
I got an interview on tape with Miss Houston. Can I play that?
What?
I got an interview on tape with Miss Houston.
Maybe later. Just play the song. Which one is it?
Number 6!
Jesus. Here's the song. Now play it.
Hold on.
What do you want?
I can't fart.
No!
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming?
There, it's over, okay?
Yeah, over?
It's over. Yeah, you had to do that, didn't you?
Well, you said not do it.
No, you just got to get in your fart noise, don't you?
I didn't do it during the Anthem National.
The Anthem National? God, you get dumber by the week, man. The Anthem National.
I not burp.
Yeah, I know you didn't burp. Well, give the man a freaking... give the man a cigar. You didn't burp all through the National Anthem.
Number six!
Yeah, that's great, RC. Freaking idiots. What, am I taking over the show? Get over here.
Well, you told me that I was being inappropriate.
Well, you are being inappropriate. Now play your number five.
I gotta go break.
You gotta go where?
I gotta go break.
Oh, okay.
This Bud Dickman show on the Phil Henry show.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
It's Bud Dickman's Weekly Top 10, and now it's time to wake Carson Daly!
Hey, you, and welcome to Bud Dickman's Weekly Top 10. It's time now we're going to wake up Carson Daly, and we now have a telephone off the hook in his hotel room. Let's listen in, shall we? Yeah, that's Carson Daly. He's asleep, RC.
Yeah, we got to get some people to wake him up.
Okay, now you can wake up Carson Daly by calling up at our number here at the radio station, and we'll try to wake up Carson Daly. Let's go to our first caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Yo, man, what's up, man? Bud, I never listen to you. I never miss your program, and so it's so great, man. I mean, you are my idol, man. You are like everything to me.
All right, man. Do you want to wake up Carson Daly?
Yes, I do, man. I do.
All right, let's listen in and see if he's asleep.
That sounds like he's asleep, man.
There's no doubt about it. Okay, go ahead and wake up Carson Daly.
Yo, Carson, he's only 15!
Oh, my God, I'm awake. What is this? It's a boy in my bed.
How about that? You woke up Carson Daly when he's only 15.
Yo.
All right, you win a Bud Dickman photograph. It's autographed and everything.
No thanks.
All right. What do you want?
What I want, man, is a Carson Daly t-shirt. You all right, Carson?
Oh, my God, he's only 15.
Just show a little love, represent your side like me. Round here, if you stick, you catch a hot one. My shot, a couple of them down one.
Belvedere. I'm Carson Daly. Up on dubs, we
about to go and buy the bar up. Carson, you're like an idol to me.
Thanks a lot. What are you, man?
I'm a kid. Girls is on the way,
you interested in having some sex? I'm just kidding, NASA. Uh-huh. No, I can't
forget about my... That's number four, and it's... number five. Where the party at? Number four. No, wait a minute. It's number four, five. I can't read that. What does that say?
I can't read it either. What does it say?
It's number 22.
Yeah, it's number 22. Thanks, Carson. That's great. What number is this, Carson?
Number 20.
Oh, so we skipped one. Is that it?
Yeah.
All right, here is number 20. Genuine, spelled G-I-N-U-W-I-N-E. Differences on a Bud Dickman show.
Way to hit the post, man.
Well, don't screw it up by talking over it, you ass.
You hit the post and everything.
Yeah, you guys just blew it. I don't want to be a DJ anymore.
Wow, this tune's romantic.
Yeah, I was just kind of noticing that.
Would you like to dance?
Sure.
Welcome to the Gay Hour here at the Bud Dickman Weekly Top 10. Carson Daly now is dancing with male members of his audience.
Number four!
Okay, now at number three...
No, we haven't stopped dancing, man.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is my story, and I'm telling you.
Okay, it sucks. You can play another one.
All right, at number three on the Bud Dickman Weekly Top 10, this is Mary J. Blige. Last week it was at number three, so it's not done anything. Still number three, Family Affair.
Number three!
I'm Carson Daly, and I have a career, even though I don't own an alarm clock.
Let's get it.
Oh, excuse me, the microphone's still on.
I'm Carson Daly.
Get on now, cause you know we got to get it wrong. Mary J is in the spot tonight, and I'ma make you feel all right.
By the way, I want to play this interview I had with Whitney Houston on her great success with the Star Spangled Banner. Whitney had this to say.
I wrote that song. I was just feeling lonely one night. My man was not with me, and I decided to write a song about a flag flying over a fort in Baltimore. I just lonesome for a man, and you know, it came out that way.
Thank you.
That's okay.
Get ready, everybody! Here's number two!
Yeah, I wanted to say about... Oh, sorry. This is number two in the Bud Dickman... on the Bud Dickman Weekly Top 10. And I wanted to... anyway, she was going to say... Never mind. What's this? Is this numero uno? I guess this is numero uno, huh?
What's that mean?
Number one. This is Jennifer Lopez.
What?
All right, that was Jennifer Lopez. Well, thank you very much. Oh, I'm sorry.
Let's go.
Play your stupid song, will you?
Called you on the phone, said I'm coming through.
Told you I needed gas, then I got my car. Parked it at your house, came inside the house, and I showed you some fabric I'd picked out for a chair that I'm redesigning in your dining room. Then I wear my hair some ways with a ponytail, but tonight, since we're going out to eat, I think I'll put it up in a bun, and I'll wear that dress you bought for me at Lord & Taylor. Oh, Jesus.
Baby, don't